Good morning. Today's message is going to be a spinoff of last week's message. Now, if you recall, last week I spoke about Christians being the salt and being the light of the earth. I talked about how people should see our salt, they should see our light, and they should want what we have. I told you that everything that we do in this life, everything we do should bring attention to Jesus Christ. And as Christians, we should entice, we should intrigue, we should make people thirst for what we have. Do you remember that? Here's the thing. You got to remember this. You got to know this. A little bit of a disclaimer. I didn't mention this last week, but this is the reason why we're following it up this week. You need to understand this. You cannot do it by your own power. Cannot do it by your own power. Today, I want to talk about bearing fruit. And I've titled today's message, Remain in Me. Let's open with a word of prayer. Oh, Heavenly Father, thank you so much. So much for the opportunity to be here to share the word that you've laid on my heart. So, Lord, I ask and pray that the Holy Spirit will fill me up. I'm just a vessel. Fill me up and tip me over. Lord, that every person that's listening or watching will hear what you want them to hear and to feel. I pray that in Jesus' name. Amen. If you have your Bibles with you, do me a favor. Let's go ahead and turn to John 15, 1 through 8. John 15, 1 through 8. And now Jesus is speaking here, and the reason I know that is because it's in red. Let me read this to you. John 15, 1 through 8. It says, I am the true vine, and my Father is the gardener. He cuts off every branch in me that bears no fruit, while every branch that does bear fruit, he prunes, so that it will bear even more fruit. You're already clean because of the word I have spoken to you. Remain in me as I also remain in you. No branch can bear fruit by itself. It must remain in the vine. Neither can you bear fruit unless you remain in me. I am the vine, you are the branches. If you remain in me and I in you, you will bear fruit. Let me back up, I missed a word. You will bear much fruit. Apart from me, you can do nothing. If you do not remain in me, you are like a branch that is thrown away and withers. Such branches are picked up and thrown into the fire and burned. If you remain in me and my words remain in you, ask whatever you wish and it will be done for you. This is to my Father's glory that you bear much fruit, showing yourselves to be my disciples. There in John 15, Jesus claimed, he says this, he says, I am the true vine. Jesus was comparing himself to a vine which brings life to all the branches. The purpose of the vine is to bring nourishment to the branches so they might produce fruit. But when separated from the vine, the branches wither. They die. Here's what Jesus is saying. And that scripture that we just read, we're going to dig into it a little bit more, but here's an overview. Ready? The vitality of our spiritual life is dependent on our connection to Jesus Christ. Let me say it again. The vitality of our spiritual life is dependent upon our connection to Christ, the true vine. Have you ever wondered why Jesus told the disciples, I am the true vine? Right? Have you ever wondered why he used that type of metaphor? To understand this, we need to take a look at what was happening at that particular time. What was going on in Jesus' life at that time when he told the disciples about this? You see, it was the night that Jesus was going to be betrayed. But before that happens, hours before, Jesus and his disciples, they've celebrated the Passover meal. They ate together. Jesus washed the disciples' feet. And then he spoke to them about his betrayal and also about his departure. At the end of his discussion, if we were to go back and look at John 14, Jesus told the disciples, after all that was done, he said, "Come now, let us leave." So what they do is they leave that upper room, they head, make their way towards the Mount of Olives, and then eventually to the Garden of Gethsemane. The entire time that they're walking, Jesus is instructing his disciples. He's teaching his disciples. Now Jesus, he is the master teacher. He didn't waste any opportunity to teach. He used everyday things to help people understand who God is. Who God is, what His plan is, what His will is. He used every opportunity possible. So as they're walking, they pass something that's going to be very, very familiar to every person in Jerusalem. A grapevine. He used something that was very, very familiar and that they could understand. And Jesus proclaimed to the disciples with a grapevine in his hand, he says, "I am the true vine." And the disciples, you know what? You know, we often think about them being a little thick-headed. But they understood this. They got it. They understand what Jesus was getting at. They understood that life flowed through those vines or into the branches. Jesus was showing his disciples and us that he is the source of all true life. And if we want to live a very fruitful, a very spiritual life, we must be connected to Jesus. That's what he's saying. But the very first and non-negotiable step is to have a relationship with Jesus, and being connected to Jesus, you must first make the proclamation. You've got to proclaim that Jesus is Lord and Savior. You've got to believe. As your Lord, Jesus has the absolute authority over you. He is your ruler. And you seek to follow His ways as your Savior. He's the one that saves you from your sinfulness and offers forgiveness of those sins. There is nothing that you can do to earn this other than honestly and sincerely praying the sinner's prayer. Paul tells us in Romans 10, 9 through 10, if you confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God has raised Him from the dead, then you will be saved. For it is with your heart that you believe and are justified, and it's with your mouth that you confess and are saved. You see, when you do this, first and foremost, this is when you gain that connection to Jesus Christ. Once you have it, there is nothing that can take it away. Absolutely nothing. Now sometimes, don't get me wrong, sometimes we move away from Jesus. We do that by our own doing. But Jesus will never walk away from you. Never. In today's scripture, Jesus is calling us to action. Thousands of years ago, Jesus was calling the disciples to action. In that exact same scripture, He's calling us to action. And that action is this: to remain in Jesus. 8 times in this very small section of scripture that we read, Jesus says, "Remain in me. Remain in me. Remain in me." Over and over and over again, He says this. He says this 8 times. Remain in me. This word remain, it means we are to stay. It means we are to abide. It means we are to wait. Now, If I was going to have a conversation with you, and I repeated myself over and over and over and over again, I'm hoping you would get the point, right? I'm hoping you would understand that it was very, very, very important. Now, you may become a little frustrated with me, listen to me continuously repeat myself over and over and over again, but you're going to get the point that I think this is very, very, very important. Parents, we can relate to this, right? We do the same thing with our children. Hey, I need you, Austin, I need you to make sure you understand this. A few seconds go by and I say, Austin, I need you to understand this. Austin, I need you to get this. Now, they might get frustrated with me, or he might get frustrated with me because I continue to tell him over and over and over again to do this or not do this or get this. But he's going to get the point. I think this is important. God does the same thing with us. We might get frustrated at times, but he needs us to get it. So what's he do in this scripture? He tells us, over and over and over and over and over again, remain in me. Jesus wants us to get it. He needs us to understand this is very, 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 very important. You see, if we don't remain in Jesus, we end up dying spiritually. We can't sustain ourselves. We can't do it on our own. Never will. Never are be able to do it on our own. That's why Jesus is so adamant about this. That's why he repeats himself 8 times. Not 2, not 3, not 4, not 8 times. I think about in the springtime, or even through the summer when you're out in your front yard and you're trimming the bushes, or you're trimming your trees, and you cut off a limb on a branch or a bush, it doesn't take much time at all before that branch starts to wither up. It starts to die. It becomes useless. That's the picture that Jesus has given us. If we don't remain in Him, we can't do anything of any good. We wither up. We're spiritually useless. That's what He's saying. The main thing that I see from this concept of the word remaining is one of total dependence. We are dependent upon Jesus for our life's nourishment. Just as a newborn baby is totally dependent on his parents, we are totally dependent on Jesus for our spiritual nourishment. And we often think that spirituality is what we bring to the table, right? It's what we bring to the equation. And that's not the case. I hate to bust your bubble, but that's not the case. If the branch is separated from the vine, it dies, period. The branch can't do it on its own. The same thing's true for us spiritually. Unless we remain in Christ, we die spiritually. True life does not start in the branch. It starts in the vine. Our spiritual life comes from Jesus, from being connected to Jesus. And it's only in Him that we will bear fruit for the kingdom of God. Let me put it another way. It's only in Him that we can be that light, and it's only in Him that we can be that salt that I talked about last week. So many times, even after that message last week, you often think, yeah, I need to do a better job of being that salt and being that light in the area of my life and the people that I come in contact with. Let me tell you something. It's not all about you and the work that you produce. You have to be connected in Jesus, and that fruit and that salt and that light will come out. So let me ask you this. How dependent are you on God? How much of your daily life have you surrendered to Him? Are you trying to be in control? Have you acknowledged that God is in control of everything in your life? And you think, okay, Donnie, I understand it. You said originally we get connected to Christ through salvation. But how do we do? What do we got to do? How do we do to stay that connected, to get that spiritual nourishment that we need every single day? Well, I'm glad you asked. This is where the things that we normally assume that we're supposed to do as Christians come in. You see, reading our Bibles and praying, coming to worship, hanging out with other believers, serving others, servant leadership. It's where all this fits in. Now, we usually think of these things as the things that we have to do, right? Hey, pastor said I got to do it. Mom, dad, they said I got to do it. Sunday school teacher said I got to do it. This is the stuff that we as Christians, we've got to do. It's the things that we're supposed to be doing. And then we look at prayer and we look at Bible reading, serving, helping others, even attending Sunday worship as drudgery and boring and monotonous work. Why? Because we as Christians believe that we have to do it. We go through this life checking the box of our spiritual duties. And we don't end up doing it willingly. We're doing it because we think we need to do it, because that's what we're supposed to do as Christians. You know what I'm talking about? We do it because we believe it's what we're supposed to do. That kind of thinking is what gets you in trouble. Because what ends up happening is you eventually are going to stop doing that. It happens all the time. Christians stop with those type of disciplines. They get burnt out on it. Why? Because you're doing it for all the wrong reasons. You see, I believe these spiritual disciplines exist to keep us connected to the vine, to keep us attached at the source, so that the life of God can flow in us and through us. We don't read God's Word. We don't pray. We don't come to church, serve others, get involved because it's the right thing to do. No. We do it to be connected and to grow in that relationship with Christ. To remain in Him and He in us. You ever thought about it that way? You ever thought about, hey, you know what? I'm going to get connected with Christ. And through that, guess what happens? Then I'm affecting other people's life. I read God's Word. I pray. I serve. Because I want to be connected with Christ. We don't read the Bible simply for knowledge, as we read a history book. We read the Bible because we believe it is God's Word and it draws us closer to God. We pray so we can connect with God in the deepest of levels. We worship God because we're thankful for God's blessings in our life. We come together and we surround ourselves with other people who seek that same type of connection, and then we end up connecting with God and the people at the same time. Hear me out. Don't go through this life trying to check a spiritual to-do list. No. Get connected. Get plugged in to Christ and grow in that relationship and let that spiritual checklist check itself. That's going to happen. You focus on the relationship with Jesus Christ. You focus on getting connected to Christ, and that checklist, that to-do list you think you have to be working on, that thing's going to take care of itself. You don't have to worry about that. Think about it like this. What good is it if you have a brand new state-of-the-art computer? Now, I mean, this thing does everything under the sun. Endless possibilities. There's nothing this computer cannot do. But you don't plug it in. You don't plug it in. And if you don't plug it in, it doesn't work. It's not serving its purpose. Get this, it's absolutely useless. What good is it? But on the other hand, you plug it in and it makes a world of difference. Notice, again, Jesus says 8 times in this passage. What did he say? Did he say, hey, I need you to remain with me. I need you to remain close to me. Maybe it was remain by me. Or remain near me. Maybe it was remain around me. And wasn't it, was it? No. Every single time Jesus said, remain in me. 8 times he said, remain in me. You see, it's not good enough for us to just be next to Jesus. Or near Jesus. Or close to Jesus. Or even around Jesus. We must be in Jesus. And only when we're in Jesus do we gain our spiritual strength and that spiritual vitality. Only then can we begin to bear much fruit. Only then can we be that salt and be that light that I talked about last week. You can't do it by your own power. Only comes when you're connected in Jesus. In John 15:5, Jesus said, I am the vine, you are the branches. If you remain in me and I in you, you will bear much fruit. Apart from me, you can do nothing. Now think about what Jesus is saying here. Think about what his call is for our life. He's so clear about what he wants from us. He's saying he is the vine. Right? He is our life source. He is the root of our lives. We're just the branches. If we remain in Him, if we remain connected in Him, if we're growing in Him, we're going to bear much fruit. However, when we're not connected in Him, it says we can do nothing of any spiritual good. That's what the Scripture's saying. See, we often think that our spiritual actions come from when we put forth an effort by our own power, right? That's not what this Scripture is telling us. It says true spiritual fruit comes when you're connected in and through Jesus Christ. Your salt and your light will affect everybody it comes in contact when you are connected in Jesus Christ. You don't have to work and showing people your light. You don't have to work and showing people your salt. You don't have to work to show people the fruit that you're bearing. You get connected with Jesus Christ. You get connected in Jesus Christ. As he said 8 times in this scripture, that stuff's going to happen. We must be connected to Jesus Christ to do anything that's spiritually good. It's as if we're not, we're just thrown away. We're discarded. We're useless. That's hard to hear. But we're not useless, are we? God created us with a purpose. God created us with a grand design. God created us with a perfect plan. And it's part of our mission to discover what God wants for us. For each one of you. It's part of my purpose and my goal at Raleighville Gospel Church to help each person come to Jesus. to know Him, and to experience His presence, to experience His grace, to know without a shadow of a doubt that Jesus wants you to be doing in your life. And we can only do that when we are connected in Him. The call for our life is to bear fruit. And notice there in verse 8, it didn't say just bear some fruit. It didn't say bear just a little fruit, maybe some, you know, some mediocre style fruit. No, it says bear much fruit. I've seen this church in action. We are a fruit-bearing church. But let me tell you something. We've got the potential to grow beyond our wildest dreams and be great fruit bearers. We have the potential to be the light. We have the potential to be the salt that this valley needs, and not just the valley, but this world. And I'm probably sounding redundant right now, but I need you to get it. I want you to understand it. I need you to know it. For us to do that, to be that salt bearers, to be that light bearers, to be the fruit bearers that God wants, we have to be connected. Not just the church, but as individuals. You need to have that relationship and be connected and growing so you bear fruit, so you show light and you share, show salt. Don't get caught up in thinking that there's a checklist, a spiritual checklist that you need to handle, that you need to take care of. Well, I did that. Let me check that. I need to do this. Well, I got to go to church. I need to go. We've got Bible study coming up. Let me check that. Your spiritual life's not about that. Your spiritual life is about being connected with Christ. And all that stuff that you think that you need to check the box on, that's going to happen. That's going to happen because of your relationship. That's going to happen because you're growing. That's going to happen because of your love for Jesus Christ. And that relationship with Him is so very, very, very important. Let's close in prayer. Oh, Heavenly Father, I thank You for that relationship. Thank You for the relationship that You have given me. Giving me an opportunity to have a relationship with the God of the universe. Wow. Thank You, Lord, that I can come to You and talk to You and pray to You. I can read Your Word. I can hear from You. That I get to have this very special, special, special relationship. And a relationship that can grow. So Lord, I ask for me and every person here in our church that we will grow in that relationship, that we will bear much fruit, that we will show that light and that salt. And it only comes from You. I thank You so much. In Jesus' name, amen. Again, the fruit we bear, the salt, the light that we produce, listen to me, it's all just a byproduct of the relationship that you have with Jesus Christ. You go through this life trying to check that spiritual to-do list, you're going to get tired. You're going to get burnt out. Focus on the relationship. Focus on your relationship. Grow in your relationship with Jesus Christ. And that fruit, and that salt, and that light, it'll come. Thank y'all so much for tuning in with us this week. Y'all have a great week. God bless, and we'll see you later. Thanks.